When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Do you want a beautiful lawn? Enter True Green, the easiest way to get a great lawn. Just water and mow and they'll do the rest. Weed control, fertilization, aeration, and more. True Green is the official lawn care treatment provider of the PGA Tour. And they have a verified best price, which guarantees you the lowest price with no compromise on quality. You do you. Let True Green do your lawn care. Visit TrueGreen.com, TrueGreen.com to get the best lawn at the best price with the best people. Guaranteed.
Today on Sticks In, looking back at a weekend of action in the lacrosse world, we have a new number one in the media poll yet again. So we will do the Tuesday top 20. We had a weekend of OT thrillers indoors in the NLL, so we will catch up on the NLL playoff picture as well. As always, if you are enjoying the podcast, leave a like, subscribe, download, all that good stuff. Big things are happening with the pod. We got some announcements coming soon, thanks to people seeming to enjoy it as much as they do, so keep doing that. Thank you again for being here. Let's do it. Sticks In. My name is Dan Arestia. I am glad you're here. It is Tuesday. That means a couple of things on the pod. It means there's another weekend of lacrosse in the books. We've got games to look at, games to talk about, results to chew through. We've got a new top 20 media poll, so we will go through my entire top 20 ballot for Inside Lacrosse, and we'll look at the way the final poll shook out. Before we get to the poll, though, we have the march to May. The NLL weekend had 8 games on the schedule. Half of them went to overtime. It's just that time of year indoors. I mean, every game was awesome all weekend. I hope you tuned in for some. Couple tickets to the playoffs got punched. Some dreams were crushed. We can spend just a few minutes here going through some of the NLL playoff picture. A couple, I guess, of just kind of quick hitters on it. Panther City won at home against Buffalo, making both teams 7-7 with 4 games to go. And just firmly in the thick of things when it comes to securing those playoff spots. So, like, on the plus side, I guess, if you're looking for positive things, Calgary got a massive win. They got a win against Albany that keeps them alive in the playoff picture. It gets them to 6-8 with 4 games to play. All 4 of their remaining games are against teams that are currently 500 or worse. So Calgary's got a shot. I mean, win out, they get to 10-8. They're definitely in. Feels like 9 wins, 10 wins is what's going to get it done. So they are idle this weekend, as most of the league is, so they can watch. There's only, I believe, 4 games on the schedule, including a Thursday game. So they can kind of watch the mayhem there, see where things shake out, and then kind of know what they need to have happen. But really, Calgary is going to have to be basically winning out. But again, with that schedule, it's doable. Next weekend, they got a home-and-home with Saskatchewan. So, it's all right in front of them. Roughnecks are in a decent spot, for sure, to end on a positive note to make the playoffs. San Diego's win over Vegas, their comeback win over Vegas, officially clinches a playoff spot for them. Mathematically, the Seals are in. They are at 11 wins. Also, Toronto already was in, but they officially now will be hosting a playoff game. They've clinched a home game in the first round with their 12th win of the season. Albany is at 10 wins, and while not mathematically clinched, I don't think, it would take, again, there's some scenarios that are like mathematical miracles, but they're possible. So I think Albany, I'm not sure if they have totally clinched yet, but they feel pretty safely in at 10 wins. And then you just get this giant logjam, right? So you have those 3 teams, and then you have Georgia at 9 wins, Halifax at 8, Panther City, Buffalo, and New York all have 7 wins. Rochester and Calgary have 6. That feels like the group from which the playoff field is getting drawn. That group. The thing is, I just gave you 10 teams. Two of those teams ain't making it. So that's what this March to May is looking like, is when the music stops, which two of these teams are going to be left without a seat. Saskatchewan had a pretty brutal weekend. On Friday, they were 5-6. By Sunday night, they were 5-8. They lost to New York on Long Island on Saturday in a game where Jeff Teat basically tore them apart. New York scored 14 goals. Teat either scored or assisted on 13 of them. A 4-goal, 9-assist night for Teat, who's now over 100 points. He's over 100 points, I think, every year of his career. He's going to rightfully be in that MVP conversation. Unbelievable year for him. It's a shame for me as a person who used to go to Riptide games. And I still got one more in me. I got that last home game of the Riptide before they make the move to Ottawa. But it's a bummer that a player like Teat used to play so close to where I live, and now I'm going to have to go to Ottawa to see Jeff Teat play. But back to the Rush. On Sunday, they were visiting Georgia after that tough Saturday loss. They had to travel down to Georgia to play the Swarm. And they got out to a great start because they shut out Georgia in the first half, which is unbelievable. You look at it, it's a team with Lyle Thompson, Shane Jackson, Andrew Q. Like, it's plenty of exceptional offensive personnel. So to shut them out was something. The problem was the little second half collapsed at them in. The aforementioned Thompson and Q both had a hat trick and two assists in the second half, and the Swarm ended up pulling out a 9-7 win. So Saskatchewan kind of has their hopes dashed at this point. I had said it a little bit last week on the pod, but I thought it was so important for Saskatchewan to have a good weekend this past weekend because their schedule is really, really rough. They have obviously the double dip over last weekend that they now went 0-2 in. They get a quick turnaround to a Thursday game against Philly, a makeup game from a weather postponement in January. And then they're off over the weekend. And then that first weekend in April, they're doubleheadering again. They have to do a home and home with Calgary. So when you get these games stacked up, it can just wear your team out. So you wanted to see them, I think, if you're a Rush fan, get out to a great start and maybe, you know, go at least 1-1 over the weekend and have two good showings. But going 0-2, leaving them at 5-8 with this tough schedule ahead, you know, it's basically win out time, I think, for the Rush if they're going to make the playoffs. It's going to be hard to do when they're stacking these games up. Interestingly, you know, I mean, I talk about these teams like they're done, but almost no, I don't think anybody actually is really mathematically eliminated yet. Nobody's actually completely out of it. Even Vegas is 4-10. They are at the bottom of the standings. If they win out and they get a lot of help from the rest of the league, like everything breaks just right, they can still make the postseason. It's Doctor Strange telling Tony Stark that there's like one outcome out of 14 million where they win against Thanos. But hey, look, Vegas, there's one outcome where you win against Thanos and you make the playoffs. So mathematically, you're alive. It would basically be a statistical miracle, but it's possible. So you're alive until you aren't. And Vegas, like everybody else, is still alive right now. Vancouver and Colorado both won. They can be spoilers the rest of the way. Like Vegas, all three of those teams can basically be a spoiler and wreck some other seasons at a bare minimum the rest of the way. I think Vancouver's looking dangerous, man. They've now won three of their last four. They get Vegas this weekend and basically a loser-leaves-town game. And then it's Halifax, the Riptide, and the Seals. It's a great lineup if you're looking for the Warriors to monkey wrench some people. But their young offense is coming together. They made a change in goal, and it's really sparked them. Their defense is young, but is very, very good. Owen Grant is off the charts good. He's one of those guys who you can tell he's just going to be a pro forever. Indoors, outdoors, if he wants to be, he's going to be a pro forever. But the Warriors look like we may not make the playoffs, but we're taking you all down with us kind of team. They're playing that well. So I'm kind of enjoying watching Vancouver lately. There's only four games in the schedule for the NLL this weekend. As I said, gets an early start with that makeup game Thursday between Saskatchewan and Philly. That's a makeup date from January. Obviously huge for both those squads. Philly got their doors blown off by the aforementioned Vancouver Warriors over the weekend. Vancouver put up 21 on Philly. Saskatchewan, as we said, had a rough weekend. So both those teams are sitting at 5-8. That is also a loser leaves town kind of match, I think. I think loser is basically cooked there. So come Friday morning, somebody's going to be alive and pushing towards the playoffs. Somebody's going to be playing out the string, I think. We'll see. But yeah, the NLL weekend, I mean, if you aren't watching these games, if you aren't watching these indoor games, I'm telling you, you're missing out. It's playoff intensity in a bunch of them already. It's great. So NLL weekend, it'll be a light one. Again, Thursday game and then three games over the weekend. And then it's all gas, no breaks through the end of May when we get the championship. Turning our attention now to the college game. We got the new top 20 poll. I was a little bit interested in who would get number one votes this week. We can just get right into it because, again, the number one team lost. Army went down. BU defeated the troops. Q's had a mega huge win over Duke, as we kind of talked about last week because it was midweek. We talked about it before the weekend. But Duke did bounce back with the win over Denver. I thought it was probably recency bias and prisoner of the moment stuff, but I thought after that, I'll bet you if you had held the vote immediately following the Q's Duke game, Q's would have gotten number one votes. But then, you know, UVA played out over the weekend. Notre Dame was idle. People got to digest it and not just be prisoners of the moment on Wednesday night. So we get the poll. Two teams get number one votes. We can just get right into, again, I'm going to read you my ballot, how I voted, and I'll tell you where the team actually came in at the poll as we get to where they are and in the way I voted. So I voted UVA number one. I gave my top spot to Virginia. They came in at number two in the poll. Apparently, there were seven other voters who agreed with me and put UVA at number one. Virginia's only loss is Hopkins, which I think I consider to be better than Notre Dame's loss to Georgetown. They kind of have, I think, basically the same best win or best wins in the way of beating Maryland and Michigan. I really liked what I saw from UVA this past weekend. I know there was, you know, not like super intense competition, but I think you got to see what the Hoos look like when it's all working. I mean, they just put the other team in a phone booth. You just cannot move. You cannot do anything when that defense plays as well as it did. So UVA gets a frisky Harvard team this weekend. Harvard's lost two in a row and needs one. So I think UVA-Harvard is actually going to be a really interesting game. Harvard scraps and fights to the last second of every game. And I think UVA doesn't always kind of step on teams' throats. So, you know, that's a game where if you leave Harvard an opening, they'll take it. So I'm interested to see UVA there. But I have the Hoos at number one. In the final poll, they came in at number two. As you can imagine, I have Notre Dame at number two. They came in at number one in the poll. They got, I believe there were 17 first-place votes for Notre Dame and eight for UVA. I have them at two. They were idle this week. I can't say it didn't matter to me that they were idle. Watching teams take the field and just tell you a little bit more about themselves, it's just kind of an important part, I think, of what makes polling polling. So, you know, like you see these teams, it makes an impression. Like, I don't know if it's subconscious or what, but we'll get a hell of a game this week, man. Syracuse visits the Irish. I will tell you right now, I would imagine the winner of that game takes the top spot in the poll. Regardless of what happens between UVA and Harvard, I would bet I probably will end up voting the winner of that game number one next week. I have Syracuse at number three. Q's at three matches where they came in the actual poll this week. I would bet a lot of voters put them at three. They absolutely clamped Duke midweek. We talked about that. They kind of took care of business against Hobart. Q's was a little banged up in that game, and the elements, of course, are a factor there. They played like everybody else in the Northeast in snow and rain and cold and all this other stuff. Every game I turned on TV, it looked like a snowstorm. That LIU-Siena game was insane. But Hobart probably kept it closer than it could have been. I think the elements helped them do that. Owen Hiltz didn't play in this game. It sounds like he has a lower body injury. He's getting through. But look, that let us all get a look at Trey Deer. I think Trey Deer is a guy I've been dying to see him on the field. He's talented enough to play for like 70 different offenses in D1. He just happens to be on one of the two or three teams that has so many weapons that they can't find room for Trey Deer. But Trey Deer is a special player, so I was happy to see him get some run, see him get in the mix for Q's a little bit. As we said, the Orange visit Notre Dame this weekend, and that is definitely the game of the week. That'll be a fun one. I have Penn State at 4. And again, I matched the final poll here. They came in at 4 in the final poll too. The Nittany Lions had to work for it this week, though. That Ohio State team, that is not an easy defense to play against, man. And it was interesting because I really like the way Penn State plays in the 6-on-6 on offense. I think Ohio State's defense, they want to play you 6-on-6. They want to play a slowed down, you know, line up your guys against our guys and we'll take our chances kind of game. Ohio State wants to play settled 6v6 defense. I think Fayok is a star. To me, this game kind of came down to, can Penn State up the pace enough and play transition enough instead of looking for settled goals that they're so good at getting and take care of things that way? And I think they answered the bell pretty well. I mean, you saw Grant Hawes with a goal. That tells you they were looking for some transition there. I think Frakion was looking to push tempo off of saves. It was a well-executed game plan and kind of adjustment for Penn State, I think, to win the way they did. So they host Maryland this week. Again, now that we're into these conference play, it's just one banger of a game after another. So Penn State, Maryland this week. That'll be another one where I think tempo and the way Penn State attacks could be fun. At 5, I have Army. This is where I dropped Army to, the 5 spot. They came in at 6 in the final poll, so they got dinged a little harder in the final poll than I dinged them for losing to BU. And I think this is kind of becoming a familiar story now for Army to me. It's crazy to say it because they spent a couple weeks at number 1, but I think they might need to win the Patriot League. Like, they play UNC this week. Who knows what a win there is really going to do for them based on how last week went. But then they're just in a Patriot League play. They're 11 in the RPI. Counting on at large for them is a scary place to be. The bubble might be kind of rough this year. So Army, of course, is mega talented. They're good enough to be number 1. They're well coached. They are good everywhere. But the resume is interesting now that they lost to BU. I'm just saying. Like, it's just one of those freaky things where they were number 1 and now you're like, well, are they going to make the tournament? I don't know. We'll see. Yeah, one thing you can count on with them, again, with their leadership, and again, you got to love their coaching staff. Alberici's one of the best in the business. You know they're going to be at their best when it counts. He's going to have them prepared and ready to execute when it counts. So these Patriot League games are going to be huge. I cannot wait for Army-Navy, April 13th. You know I'm going to that. Cannot wait to head up to West Point for that one. So that'll probably be one of their bigger games left. At number 6, I have Duke. The final poll had them at 5. I dropped them down to 6. I thought it was just a really ugly loss, man, in the dome. Really ugly loss to Cuse. But again, we talked about it already. We don't have to do it again. I thought a nice win over Denver. Certainly a moment Duke fans are dreading was the moment where Brennan O'Neill was grabbing at his hamstring and limping a little bit. I don't see enough from them at other spots in the field, particularly in their midfield, to think they can deal with losing Brennan O'Neill. And it's crazy to look at this team on paper and be like, well, they're an O'Neill injury away from really struggling on offense. But I think that's kind of what it is. If O'Neill wasn't 100% against Cuse, I think that's what it looks like. It's their offense. If Brennan O'Neill is hurting, they just couldn't make anything happen. It was McAdory trying to find stuff and that was it. So, I would love to see them use Dyson Williams as a Dodger more, but I've been saying that for years. Doesn't seem like that's ever going to happen, but Duke is now, look, they're at 4 in the RPI. They've got a midweek date against BU, and then they've got some, obviously, their big ACC games. They feel pretty tournament safe to me. I know Laxref called them a lock at this point, and I know it seemed like lacrosse Twitter and social media was like, what are you, a lock? What are you, crazy? But I think unless they like totally collapse, it feels like Duke is pretty safely in. I don't know. Their strength of record's really good and their RPI is really good. Those are the metrics that matter. You don't get in based on how you play in one game in the dome. I think we're all kind of soured on recency bias with Duke, but they're still really good. At 7, I have Cornell. This match is where they came in the final poll as well. They beat Yale 18-15 in a game that there were defenders on the field. I'll say that. How much defense got played, I guess, in the eye of the beholder. But there were defenders out there, and they tried. Cornell scoring a zillion goals a game. The offense is a fireworks show. But, you know, if you've ever heard me talk in NLL, talking Rochester Nighthawks, You know, teams that are built like this or play like this tend to make me kind of nervous. I will watch you play every week. It will be so fun. I cannot wait for the offensive show and the goals. It'll be a blast. And everybody who can tune in should tune in to some of these Ivy games. But can you count on winning games that way in those kind of games through April into May? Is score 20 or bust a viable game plan for a Memorial Day run? I don't know. I personally don't really think so, but so far it's working for the Big Red. I guess we will find out. They play Penn this week. Penn has been pretty stingy on the defensive end, so you get a good strength on strength game in that one. At 8, I have Hopkins. Again, I'm still matching the poll here. It's odd that I match the poll this closely, this far down into it, but really not all that different so far. So Rutgers made it interesting. I thought Hopkins looked pretty in control of the game. A little bit of a rough start. They gave up a couple of quick ones to Rutgers, but they kind of got their arms around the game in a hurry to me. They get back to their winning ways after they drop two straight by a goal each. Hop's number 5 in the RPI. The schedule, of course, is excellent for them. Big Ten play to come should be great. I will say, I don't know if Jacob Angeles is getting nearly the pub he deserves. I think he has been outstanding. Midseason All-American award ballots hit my inbox this afternoon, and I feel like he should have a spot on a team somewhere. I think he's been really good. Number 9, I have the Hoyas. I have Georgetown, again, matching the poll. I can't believe it, but I think the 8 and 9 spots are basically a wash between Hop and Georgetown. The two of them are there in some order. I went Hop 8, Georgetown 9, just because Hop has the head-to-head win. The Hoyas beat Richmond this week to wrap up their non-con schedule. They sit at 13 in the RPI. Have to think they'll be basically comfortable favorites in all of their remaining games, with the exception of the Denver game, because they have to travel to Peter Barton for that one, I believe. But the Hoyas' depth is showing. I would say they're 5 guys deep in the midfield. Might even be 2 true lines there. The attack has been very good. I think it's tough to prepare for a team that runs that deep. And I think it's tough to keep pace with a team that can run that deep if you don't. If you don't have the horses, eventually they will wear you down. So I have the Hoyas there at 9, and I'm liking the way they're coming together right now. At 10, I have Yale. Now we're getting a little bit different. They dropped to 11 in the final poll after they lost to the Big Red. Yale offense, again, is every week is cooking. It doesn't seem to matter that Chris Lyons and Leo Johnson aren't playing this year. They're still a ridiculously good offense. Matt Brandeau is leading the nation in points per game at 7. Through 6 games, he has 7 points per game. He also leads the nation in assists per game. His production, it's crazy good. I will say, I was a little surprised to... Usually when we do like the PLL big board, Kark and I are pretty similar. Guys are in like different order, but it's basically the same list. I was very surprised to see Kark not have Brandeau in his top 12. I think Brandeau's easily a top 10 player. I think you can make a case he's a top 5 player in the draft. Unless he's somehow finagled another year, he's not going to be out. But I was surprised to see that. Anyway, Yale does need to find something on the defensive end. It feels like it does last year, where they do have like this collection of good individual defenders. Like Pisano is a good player. I think Alexander is a really solid player. They missed DeMuth very much, yes. But the breakdowns for them are team defense breakdowns. Help recover and protect the interior. It's like it's just not at a high level. It just isn't. So it's weird because, again, you have these individual guys who are so good, but as a group, they can't seem to keep it consistent. They play Lemoyne on Tuesday in New Haven at Reese, so I'm going to try and, I think, make it to that. If you're listening to this on Tuesday and you're going to the Yale game, I will probably be there. I want to see Lemoyne in person, and I don't live too far from Yale, so why not? And then they get Brown over the weekend. Brown, a very dangerous Bruno team. Wounded animal Bruno is a scary Bruno. At 11, I have Princeton. They split Ivy contests during the week. They beat Harvard, but then they also lost by a goal to Cornell. The Tigers are 13 in the poll, so I guess I overrate them a little bit. But I think people ding them pretty hard for the loss to Cornell, which I don't know if it's, you know, I didn't, because it turns out Cornell, I have at 7 like everybody else. So I didn't think Princeton was worthy of falling that far. The Tigers' losses are to Cornell by a goal, to Duke, and to Maryland. They're at 12 in the RPI. With Cornell winning over the weekend, it seems like the Big Red are the likely host for the Ivy tournament. They have the inside track, I'd say. But I will say one thing that impressed me a lot with Princeton this weekend was I thought Colin Molshine played very well. I know Sam King got out to a hot start, had a bunch of points early in the game, but Molshine really had the clamps on him for the duration of that game. If you just look at the box score, you see, oh, King had a bunch of points. He was productive. But Molshine really did a solid job. King got out to a hot start and then was quiet for a lot of that game because Molshine defended him well. So a good showing out of him, I thought. The Tigers have Dartmouth this weekend. 12, I have Denver. Final poll has them at 10. A spot ahead of Yale, who they lost to, but that's polling for you. The Pios lost to Duke this week on Sunday in Maryland. Little neutral site there, although it's a little more neutral for Denver than Duke, I guess. It's a tough one for Denver. They've lost 2 of 3. The offense has just 16 goals in their last two games. It's weird to see the offense struggle like that because they're talented and they have so many guys who can shoot the hell out of the ball. But the loss to Duke ends their non-conference slate, I believe. So it's all Big East the rest of the way, starting with Villanova this weekend. Denver's at 9 in the RPI right now. Big East is going to be interesting. It's going to be interesting. As I'm giving you these RPIs, there were games today. There was a Villanova-Brown game today. I can't imagine that did too much to shuffle things, but I'm giving you these numbers from before these games on Monday get played. At 13, I have Michigan. They were 14 in the final poll. Wolverines beat the Terps, and that is a hell of a big win for them. A huge win for Michigan. They have now won 3 straight, I believe, against Maryland. Michigan has beaten Maryland 3 straight times. Youth lacrosse player me in the 90s would not even believe that Michigan has a team, let alone is winning 3 straight against Maryland. Michigan's 15 in the RPI. I feel like the win helps them, but it's going to take some serious Big Ten noise if they want to make a tournament trip. They visit Hop this weekend. They need these wins. Their best non-con win is Delaware. That ain't going to do much good for you. But beating Maryland is a great start if they're trying to put a little run together through, you know, regular season Big Ten play and then make and try and get through the Big Ten tournament. At 14, I have Maryland. I dropped them a pretty good ways. So I have them at 14. I'm not loving them right now. I put them a spot behind the team that beat them. I think I've been lower on them than most all year. But the last few weeks for sure, when I watch Maryland play, I just don't see a contender on the field. I feel like they're a bubble team right now. I know I sound like a hater when I talk Terps, but you can't tell me this team looks ready to make a run to championship weekend. As long as they have Zapatello, they have McNaney, they have Irksa and Weirman, and they have the tools to do it. And of course, Coach Tillman is still on the sideline. So if I show up in Philadelphia for the Final Four and Maryland's there, I'm going to be like, yeah, that makes sense. But I you just watch them play and I'm like, I don't know, man. This offense just isn't doing much. The defensive midfield is I think really, really been struggling. The Terps are right now 10 in the RPI. They've lost 3 of their last 4. And that win in that stretch is the OT victory over one win Brown. They visit Penn State this weekend. It's an opportunity for them to remind people that they're legit, that the Terps are not to be overlooked. So I think a big opportunity for a statement from Maryland this weekend if they can put it together at Penn State. At 15, I have BU. I put them in here. They knocked off the number one team in the country, so you gotta find a spot for them. The final poll had them at 17, so I guess I rate that win higher than I guess some of the other voters. Although I will say the bottom part of the poll, figuring out from 15 to 20 who you're making room for is hard because there's a lot of good teams. But I have BU at 15. They've won 3 straight. I think they're playing with confidence. They are at 20 in the RPI, but they have 2 big ones left. They got Duke midweek. And then they got, you know, who's number 4 in the RPI. They got Yale at the beginning of April, who's number 1 in the RPI. So BU with two huge non-con chances left to really improve their resume for a tournament. If they win both, my goodness, do we have some bracketology to do. I think it's likely, though, that they are conference champion or bust. They're a scary squad, for sure. I think Pat Morrison and Brennan O'Neill is a potential pro versus pro matchup, if O'Neill is healthy. We'll see what O'Neill looks like as, you know, again, that hamstring is going to be the story there for him for a while. 16, I have Penn. Final poll had them at 15. They got hunted on Tuesday. They lost to St. Joe's. And then they beat Dartmouth on Saturday in the snow. Penn is at 16 in the RPI, and they just have their Ivy slate remaining. And it's the good top, you know, the top half of the Ivy, basically. Cornell, Yale, Harvard, Princeton are the remaining schedule. With that slate, Penn can still host the Ivy tournament, but they need to catch fire. They need to win those games. The offense, to me, is still pretty medium. It's tough to try and win defensive rock fights or cause one with Cornell, with Yale. But those are the next two games on the schedule for the Quakers. Emmett Carroll is going to have to be sharp. He's been great this year. He's going to have to really be exceptional over the next couple weeks. Harvard at 17 to me. They came in at 16 in the final poll. I dropped them here after they fall to Princeton in the snow over the weekend. They've lost back-to-back games by tight margins in the Ivy. They have one non-con game left. They host Virginia this weekend. That will be a good one. I think Sam King is having a spectacular offensive season. He should be a teamer on the midseason All-Americans in my eyes. You look at some of the pieces that Harvard is missing. I know they never like advertise this stuff, but they have star players that have been out all year. And Sam King has picked up the load, and he steadied the offense. He's been really, really a good player. 18, I have Rutgers. Scarlet Knights made it interesting for a while. Got out to a hot start. Came out of the gate good, but came up short against Hopkins on Sunday. So I have them here at 18. The final poll dropped them to 19. I said it last week, and I'll tell it to you again now off a loss. If you told me Rutgers should be dropped out of the top 20, I probably wouldn't fight you. Their best win right now is UMass, I would say. They're all the way down at 27 in the RPI. We've talked about it before. The RPI and the media poll have nothing to do with each other. One does not at all inform upon the other. But we're getting to that time of the year, I do try and give you where a team is in the RPI as we go through the poll so you can try and, you know, get the context of how things might be shaking up for their tournament resume. So Rutgers is a 27 in the RPI, which is not great for their tournament resume. It's basically conference champion or bust. They host Ohio State this weekend. I was thinking about trying to go down to see this one down there in Piscataway, see if that materializes. I haven't had the chance to see these teams in person in years, basically. I never get the chance to see Ohio State, so I kind of want to go see them play. I want to go see some of these Rutgers guys who look like pros, and this Ohio State defense looks great. It's a good strength on strength team, so I may make the trip down the turnpike for this one. We'll see. I think Rutgers really has underachieved this year. At this point, I feel confident saying that. Again, their best win is UMass. They're a better team than that on paper. They had massive turnover on the defensive end. Yes, they lost some big-time players on defense, but their offense ain't exactly cooking either for the talent they brought back. NASCAR is not running in Piscataway. They haven't been over 10 goals, I don't think, in their last three games. So they need to find some pace again. They need to get back to their soul and find ways to, you know, get things moving. At 19, I have High Point. I ranked High Point. I know Carolina isn't great. I know I've probably been higher on Carolina than others. And it probably feeds into me ranking High Point this week. But look, a ranked win on the road for High Point, a gutsy one at that with that insane buzzer beater to win it, is worthy of inclusion in the top 20 for me. They scored the last 7 goals of the game, and they get their first win ever at Chapel Hill. It was one of the best games of the weekend. It was an outstanding performance from High Point. It was worthy of being rewarded with being ranked, in my opinion. I know coming into the weekend, this was not a game I had bookmarked as, so I got to make sure I see that one live. You know, it's one of those games where I was like, yeah, I'll catch up on that one afterwards, but I am glad I put this one on. I thought the win warrants a ranking, so I put High Point at 19. They did not actually get ranked in the final poll. High Point visits St. Joe's this week. That A-10, with that win, it's getting wild in the A-10. High Point, Richmond, St. Joe's, it's a battle of a conference. At a 20, I have Quinnipiac. The Bobcats are the last undefeated team in D1. They have earned a spot in the top 20. They're 7-0. If it's nearly April and you still haven't lost, you probably should be getting ranked by folks. And it's not impossible to think they can win out through conference play. They got something special going on. And the Q also came in the final poll at 20, so I am not the only one who thinks this way. I have the Bobcats at 20. The poll has them at 20. Receiving votes are in the poll that I considered but didn't rank. Colgate. Colgate was ranked 18 in the final poll. I did not vote for Colgate. I had a struggle, as I said, at the kind of the bottom of the poll, particularly like 18, 19, 20, because there's a lot of teams that are like, yeah, that feels like maybe they're the 19th or 20th best team. And there are teams who kind of have wins that deserve a ranking. Like, but there's more than 20 teams, and as the name suggests, it is a top 20. There are 20 spots. Colgate's Penn State win gets better all the time. They were idle this week, I think. So, you know, I think what basically happened is I put teams in that I thought earned it and had big wins to jump into the poll. And because Colgate was near the bottom, I think I had them 20 last week, they just kind of got pushed out because they didn't play. I don't know if that's fair or not. That's just kind of what happened. So Colgate is probably around 21, 22 for me right now, but I did not rank them, and they came in at 18. Richmond, I know they play a great schedule. I know I'm a broken record on this, but their wins right now are Robert Morris, St. John's, Binghamton, UMBC, and Bucknell. The combined records of those teams is 13 and 28. Do you get to be in the top 20 for that? Yeah, they played Maryland close. They challenged themselves with a great schedule. Maryland, Duke, UVA, Georgetown. Georgetown and Duke weren't all that close. And at some point, to be a top 20 team, you actually got to beat somebody good. You got to beat somebody who's like a top 20 team, or at least like a receiving votes kind of team. Playing the great schedule, I love that Richmond does it, and they challenge themselves. I think they're well coached. They're talented. They are good on both sides of the ball. But like, I need... To me, when I do this, the results matter. The results of the game have to matter. The loss has to, it's still a loss. So I did not rank Richmond. They received votes this week. I mean, I'll say I still consider ranking them every week, but I have to put in teams that are winning games. Towson, the Tigers beat Fairfield in my home state this week. The weather was enough to keep me at home. And so that must tell you that it was horrid here. Weather was terrible all weekend. And that probably contributed to the fact that this was a 12-10 game. I think I have the Tigers right around 21, 23, that, you know, somewhere in that ballpark. They're 6-3, losses against good teams. They've got the win over St. Joe's, which is solid. I think the Navy win is decent. I think for them that date with Delaware looms. That end of April date with Delaware is going to tell you who the best team in the CAA is. And speaking of Delaware, yeah, I consider Delaware. They have top 20 talent, but they're 4-3. Their big opportunities to make a statement in the top 20, Penn, Michigan, and Syracuse, all losses. So at this point, the Hens are to me, kind of, they're going to be living outside the top 20. Their best chance to get back in, to play their way back in, is that Towson game. Teams that got votes, but I didn't really consider voting for them, Navy beat up Holy Cross this weekend. It's not enough for me to put them back in the poll, even with Hopkins' win on the resume. The Villanova loss was by 7 goals. That is going to keep them out for me at this point. They have Colgate this weekend. They win that. Maybe they get back in. I think really to get ranked at this point for me, Navy's going to need to go to West Point and win on April 13th. Ohio State got votes. I did not really consider Ohio State. I know I said it. The defense is great. The defense this year is playing like I thought the defense would play last year, but their best wins right now are like Air Force and Utah. I don't think you can rank them even with a great schedule. Tournament resume wise, I think they're 21 in the RPI. They need to win the Big Ten tournament. They need to be 500 or better too, and they're at 500 right now. So with just Big Ten games left, it could be dicey. Carolina got votes. I did not consider voting for Carolina. I know I've told you already, I've been supportive. I've been a fan. I think the young talent is there. I think the loss to High Point has to knock them out of the poll, though. I don't think you can rank them after that. Their best win right now is Penn. It's a good win, but the rest of the wins are very medium. Their RPI is a miserable 32. So that tournament resume is ugly right now for UNC. They need to beat Army this weekend. They must beat Army this weekend. I considered voting for, but didn't appear, this team didn't appear in the receiving votes category. St. Joe's. Again, it's me, the guy who always overrates St. Joe's, but look, five in a row is five in a row. They beat Penn. They're a stacked offense. They're good enough to win the A-10. I think, you know, they host High Point this weekend. I think that's going to be fireworks. That's going to be a good one. And St. Joe's wins there. I will rank them, and I would imagine they'll sneak into the top 20. And that's the poll. That's the top 20. That's my ballot. That's how I saw it. Go ahead and tell me how loud wrong I was, or how correct I was, or other teams that should be getting votes that I didn't consider. Thank you again for coming back and for sticking around with me. We're going to have a ton of content coming this week. We have some cool announcements coming for the pod. Things are changing around here that are going to be exciting that I'm very pumped to try and announce soon. So stay tuned, please, for that. We got NLL on Thursday. We got some good midweek games in the college world. Thank you again for coming back, for sticking around with me. We'll see you next time.
From muddy jungle paths to snowy trails to rolling sand dunes, the 2024 Nissan Pathfinder is ready to take you to some of the most phenomenal destinations on Earth. In a Pathfinder, it's more than just the arrival. The real excitement comes from the ride to get there. With seven drive modes, Pathfinder's available intelligent four-wheel drive is built for some of the most epic journeys. So chase bigger, better, more exciting adventures in the 2024 Nissan Pathfinder. Intelligent four-wheel drive cannot prevent collisions or provide enhanced traction in all conditions. Always monitor traffic and weather conditions.
At Amica Insurance, we know it's more than a life policy. It's about the promise and the responsibility that comes with being a new parent. Being there day and night. And building a plan for tomorrow, today. For the ones you'll always look out for, trust Amica Life Insurance. Amica. Empathy is our best policy.
The South Dakota Stories, Volume 5. South Dakota seemed like the perfect place to unplug. But I ended up connecting to the world around me. A world where each sunset was painted, where I felt adventures pulse with every step, and where cold water trickling, pine swaying, and grunting bison became my favorite soundtracks. I just wish I didn't have to leave. There's so much South Dakota, so little time.
The living room is where you make life's most beautiful memories. But your sofa shouldn't be the one remembering them. The new life-resistant, high-performance furniture collection from Ashley is designed to withstand all the spills, slip-ups, and muddy paws that come with the best parts of life. Ashley high-performance sofas and recliners are soft, on-trend, and easy to clean. Shop the high-performance furniture in-store or online at ashley.com. Ashley, for the love of home.
For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile, and the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time, there's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.